the things that we consider to be the staples of our culture and of our lives. I was online this past week and I came across a list of things that are vanishing from our culture today, things that you might have been very accustomed to when you were younger or that you heard your parents and grandparents talk about. Let me take you through a list of them, the top 10 things that this one individual says are being removed, are vanishing. Here they are. Number 10, the milkman. How many of you still get milk at the door? Anybody? I don't see a single hand here. The milkman is vanishing. Handwritten letters. My wife is very disappointed about that, given my handwriting skills. Wild horses are vanishing from our land. There's not so many of them around anymore. Personal checks are vanishing. How many of you still write, let's say, more than 10 checks a week? Any of you do? Maybe a few of you? A lot of us don't anymore. Drive-in theaters. Let me do a little check here. Anybody go to a drive-in theater in the last year? Somebody did. Awesome. Maybe it's going to make a comeback. Very few drive-in theaters anymore. Mumps and measles as the vaccines take effect. Honeybees apparently are vanishing. I don't know much about this, but I guess a number of honeybees are vanishing. News magazines and TV news, they're still all around, but the audience for them is quickly sliding away as people go to the internet to get their information. Analog TVs. Tristan, it's time to do something about yours. Rabbit ears are soon going to be outdated. And digital, you see it, in fact, advertised on all the TV channels right now. Next year, digital will be the only way to go. And number one on the list of this person's belief is the family farm that is quickly vanishing from our culture. How sad that is. The family farm is vanishing. Well, as I look at that list, I think that there is, from our perspective, one important item that is missing from a church and a spiritual perspective, from a Christ-centered perspective. The reality is that in our culture today, what is vanishing are the basic convictions of the Christian faith. Basic convictions of the Christian faith. I'm not talking about some of the in-depth differences that we might have between denominations. I'm talking about some of the fundamental convictions that have been held by quite a few people over the years are quickly sliding away. Beliefs like the understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He Himself is God, that the Bible is actually the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is still the only way to have a relationship with the Father. In our culture, those ideas are quickly vanishing. I could probably quote a lot of surveys. I just pulled out one this week that says that among evangelical Christians, that's among people who attend churches like ours, 57% of the people now believe that there are many religions that lead to an eternal life. And that eternal life is with God in a place that would be called heaven. 57% of people who attend evangelical churches no longer believe that Jesus Christ is the only path, that the way of the Christian teachings are the fundamental values on which we know and have the conviction. You know that song, On Christ's Solid Rock I Stand? That's an oldie, isn't it? An old but good song. But the belief is no longer as solid that Jesus is a solid rock on which by grace alone I take my stand and have the security that eternal life with the Father is a reality for me. That conviction is no longer shared by many in our culture. And so we are rightly called. If you haven't heard these words before, you need to get accustomed to them. We live in a post-Christian country. We live in a post-modern era. And the fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith are quickly vanishing from our sight. It's important that we know this because it affects us in very deep ways. Hey, we're in this book of Ephesians looking at a variety of truths, big picture, important truths that Paul is sharing with his church and through the ages with us as well. And now we're looking at how to take these truths as we go along in this series down to street level, how to live those truths out in our life. And the area I want to talk about for today of street level living of these truths is of critical importance. I hope you'll benefit by engaging yourself as we look at it this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, please pull your Bibles out. There's red Bibles under the chair in front of you. Look at page 1158 as we're into Ephesians 4. While you're turning there, page 1158, let me give you a quick summary. Last time, we talked about applying these truths into the area of unity. As we grow in our maturity in Christ, we become more connected, more in harmony, more unified with each other. We learn how to set our differences aside, how to keep the main things the main things, how to support and encourage each other in the faith, how to be a unified body of Christians, and how to be unified in the community and the world around us, in our faith, in our maturing faith in Christ. That was last week. Now, here's the result of it. The word then in verse 14 is the idea of having the result that if you're maturing in unity and faith, the result is that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me start off by talking this morning about this idea of being tossed around. You see it in verse 14, where it says that we are tossed back and forth. What does that conjure up for you, that idea of being tossed around? I think of tossing a salad or of tossing a ball. But this is something much more significant, the tossing of the wind and the waves. Boys and girls, I wonder if you saw any pictures like the ones I want to show you now. The picture of this guy with a bunch of helium balloons attached to a chair. There we go. This was just 2 weeks ago. A guy named Kent Couch in Oregon, who decided that he wanted to go on a little ride. So he strapped 105 helium balloons to a chair, got himself a GPS system, some snacks, bottles of water, and off he went, leaving Oregon. 193 miles later, he landed, not in the destination he had planned on in Idaho, but in another location. He said he had a great time, but he basically went where the winds carried him. Now, doesn't that look like fun? I could see myself doing that. That would be a blast. There he is, up in the sky. Just hope that you don't run into a flock of birds or something, you know? That would be interesting. Well, anyway, Ken Couch got the idea from another guy. I've referred to him in a previous message. It was in 1982. This guy, his name was Larry Walters. He tried the same thing, and what he did was he went up in with a bunch of helium balloons in a lawn chair in the area outside of L.A. Unfortunately, he blew right into federal aviation airspace, and at about, I think it was around 15,000 feet, a pilot radioed down to the control tower saying, we got a guy in a lawn chair up here in federal aviation airspace. So they had to go and rescue the guy. They charged him $1,500, and he was in all kinds of trouble. He was blown around by the wind. You see, that's what this text is talking about, being tossed around by the wind and the waves. It's actually a nautical term that's used here to the idea of, have you ever been on the water in heavy winds? I remember in Assasepi Provincial Park in Manitoba, where I grew up, we were there, and my dad and I were out on the lake, and a storm came up extremely fast. And I'll tell you, it is downright terrifying. Downright terrifying. And what Paul is trying to say here is, listen, if you have unity in the faith, and you know what the basics of your faith are, and there's a maturing that's going on in it, you will not be like infants, like little babies, tossed around by big waves and winds. But rather, you'll be mature adults who can stand up and stand strong in the face of heavy winds and waves. And it goes on to say that these winds and waves are the teachings of certain people who drift away themselves from the truths of the Christian faith. Interesting, by the way, you see four words: cunning, craftiness, deceitful, and scheming. Gives a sense that some people aren't altogether honest and upfront. They're kind of promoting ideas that are undercut the truths of the Christian faith. Well, how does that apply to us today? Let me start with back in 62 AD, where the Ephesian church was beset by a whole variety of teachings around. There were other religions. The goddess of Artemis, who was credited with giving the city all of its wealth and its importance. It was also a culture where there was significant occult practices, witchcraft, superstitions, and the like. And those things seeped into the church and began to shift and change some of the believings and the teachings of the people. And they had to really resist. They had to be strong, or they'd be swept away. Do you see what we're talking about? I wonder how that applies to us today. We could spend an awful lot of time on it. But when I hear things like that 57% of people in the evangelical churches have trouble with the very basic convictions of the Christian faith, it tells me something. It tells me that we have entered a new era in the church. We used to have some luxury to be able to discuss, maybe with some benefit, the finer points of teaching of the churches. So the Lutherans and Methodists and Baptists and Reformed people could get together, or maybe stand apart, and we could talk about the areas of significant difference that we had on things like baptism. But the era has changed. There is still warrant and benefit for having those discussions, but the focus and the energy is required in a much different area. Because we live in a culture and in a time when the basics of the basics of the basics are no longer believed in, even by many who come to church. And listen, maybe if you're here in that position this morning, I don't want to discourage you from listening, considering, and reflecting. I'm simply trying to talk about where we are as a culture right now. And to say that we need to understand that the tossing about that's going on has largely today to do with those areas of basic understandings. Who is Jesus? Not that long ago, I talked with an individual, and through that individual got in contact with a pastor of a church in Naperville that has the name Christian in its title. And in discussion with that individual, it became clear that that church does not teach that Jesus is God. Very specifically, that pastor said, we believe that Jesus is the Son of the God, but is not God. Which is a radical departure and a very classic, from the old church, a very classic heresy. They don't believe, very specifically, they don't believe in the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, as all being equal with one another. Very basic things that are fundamental to Christian teaching are not believed always by all the Christians, even by all the churches today. Where does some of this stuff come from? Well, the culture we know has changed in regards to this. And some of the popular voices in pop culture today speak into it. I know that some of you watch Oprah on a regular basis. I honestly don't. But I was told recently by people who do that Oprah seems to have turned a corner, at least in her openness, about some of her spiritual teachings and leanings. She has hooked up with some people like Eckhart Tolle, who's written a book called The New Earth, and also with Rhonda Byrne. Remember I mentioned her? She wrote the book called The Secret. I mentioned her a little while ago. And Oprah's ideas and concepts of spirituality. Now understand, Oprah comes from a Baptist background. But her understandings and leanings regarding spiritual matters and basic concepts of what faith is about have radically either changed or she's becoming more open with them. And apparently she started teaching a class online with about 300,000 people, 300,000 people in attendance through the internet, in which concepts like this are being promoted. The man on the cross is an archetypal image. He is every man and every woman. What does that say about Jesus? My salvation comes from me. That's a quote from her website. There is no sin. One of the mistakes that human beings make is that there is only one path to God. There are many paths to God. There couldn't possibly be only one way. That was in reference to a question on her show about whether Jesus is the only way. Eckhart Tolle talks about consciousness being another word for God. And Oprah really aligns herself with a lot of what Eckhart teaches. Rhonda Byrne, by the way, remember her in The Secret? She talks about the law of attraction. And let me just pull that out here a second. The law of attraction, it states that if you fully dedicate your thoughts and dreams and wishes to achieving something, that the universe will act in accordance with your thoughts and make these things happen. And then Rhonda applies it. She says, if you think fat thoughts, you will become fat. If you think, if you think thin thoughts, try to say that 10 times. If you think thin thoughts, you will become thin, and you can eat whatever you want. That's the ideas that are being promoted. Could go on and on about some of this stuff, but they are fundamentally different from truths that are aligned with the Christian faith. And it is time for us to realize that our culture has radically changed in regard to those things. Tossed about. We no longer have the luxury that we once did to just spend a lot of energy and time discussing finer details of differentiation between denominations when all around us and very near to us, we don't have agreement on the fundamental issues of the Christian faith. One of the fundamental issues that I believe it has to be just said as loud and clear here as possible, as often as possible, as this: Jesus Christ is still the only way to an eternity with God the Father. The Bible could not be clearer on it. How do you know that? Well, let me read you a few passages. Jesus in John 14, verse 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave, if you just believe he was a good prophet, like a lot of even modern large religions like Islam teach that he was a good prophet, if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, the Christian teaching, you don't have to agree with it, but you have to understand that is what the Christian teaching is. And we run the danger of being tossed about unless we acknowledge it, unless we hold true and fast. There's an advantage in all this, I see. As we come to recognize that we are no longer the dominant conceptual basis for the foundation of our culture and our nation, we are not. In reality, we are not. It puts us in a position where we have, as sad as that is, an opportunity as well. An opportunity to take the position where we actually are and begin to share with people who are suffering under the effects of the vacuum. Does this make sense to you? There is an enormous vacuum that has been created by the sucking out, by the tossing around of these basic teachings, a vacuum into which when the opportunity arises, we can step and say, I've got something of value to share. In a culture that doesn't believe there are absolute truths anymore, we can say there's some truths that if you can believe will radically give your life stability and hope and meaning and value and foundation. Out of the sadness comes an enormous opportunity if we can just see it for what it is. And what is that about? Well, the second part of the text really gets us to it. It's called, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. And by that, growing up into him who is the head, that is Christ. You see that in your Bibles? Speaking the truth in love. Actually, the Greek word there has kind of an interesting way of saying it. It's truthing in love. Truthing. A word we don't use very much. It's the idea of not just having this assent system of things we understand and believe in, but it's living it out. It's being reliable between what we say and what we do. It's the consistency over time of holding to the truths and of living those truths out. Truthing in love. Truthing in love is the concept I want us to think about. And so, truthing is in part taking those concepts that we have always held as the fundamental parts of the Christian faith and teaching. That God created the universe, that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus Christ and it came as the Son of God, that He rose from the dead, that salvation is through belief and faith in Him, that it is by grace alone that we're saved. Fundamental teachings of the Christian faith. Taking those truths and living them out in our lives. Which means that we live with a sense of humility on a regular basis. That we don't claim to have all the answers to all the questions in the world, but that we stand on a solid rock. And when the opportunity arises, we talk about those kind of things. We are truthing. But we're not truthing in any way. We're truthing in an honest way. In an upfront way. We're not trying to trick people. We're not trying to goad people into considering the Christian faith. We are honestly expressing when the opportunity comes up. Honesty is something that so lacks in our culture today, you know. Billy Joel, remember his song Honesty? Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you. The world needs honesty. You know what's happening? You watch the TV shows, the sitcoms today, and what you see are the distortions of people's lives, the dishonesty in which people live, become the butt of jokes. It's funny. It's comical. And sometimes the extent to which it goes is just downright funny. But then you step back and look at it and say, my goodness, if we live that way. And is it surprising that people are starting to live the way that the sitcoms tell us over and over again is perfectly fine and legitimate and just expected that how we will live? And so we're not living out the very fundamental truths and beliefs that are part of what the Christian faith is all about, morally, ethically, certainly out of our convictions. Truthing. How do we do it? In love. In love, where we say that it is not on the basis of our own worthiness, it is on the basis of the grace and the mercy of God in our lives. And so with a sense of humility, with a sense of respect for other people, we do what 1 Peter 3 talks about. We stand ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. But we do it with a spirit of tenderness and compassion and care. We run the risk of looking at the culture around us and saying, you know, that culture is so far gone. Let's just fortress ourselves up within this church. And when people try to talk about it, let's set them straight. Let me ask, is that what Jesus would have done? What did He do? He walked out into the culture around Him among people whose lives were far from Christ. He loved them first. The expression of truth came second. He never diminished the truth, but He always started with the love. He came alongside of them where they were. He knew what they needed. This truthing in love is what will allow us to grow up into Him who is the head that is into Christ. Grow up, Paul says. Grow up. People, it means that you gotta be unified. You gotta become mature. You gotta avoid being tossed around and accept and finalize in your heart what the teachings of the Christian faith really are. And then live them out in love. That's growing up. Anything short of that is becoming an infant. So let me ask you this morning, are you committed to the pathway of growing up in your Christian faith? This rep document that we've created, this diagram that we'll put up here on the wall a second, is a great illustration for us of continuing the path of growing up. We're all on a spiritual journey. The question is, what is the content? What's the makeup of that journey? Receiving the truths of the Christian faith into our heart. Engaging with those truths, wrestling to understand them, being honest where we have doubts. Listen, this doesn't negate the fact that we struggle by times. The idea of miracles, the idea of Christ's resurrection. People struggle with that. Lots of people do. Wrestle with it. Ask questions about it. Engage to understand, to clarify, to become more secure. Pursue the way of Christ, the way of faith. That's the way that we grow in our walk, and at Christ Community, we're committed to that. Here's what we need to do, I believe, out of this text. Number one, face the reality that there are vanishing convictions of Christian faith in our culture today, rapidly vanishing. That's just the way it is. Then we can face the opportunity that comes out of this sad reality. We can look at it this way, not in a defensive posture, protecting and defending, but rather with an open heart of invitation to people who are ready to receive. You see, the position that we hold is very different. If we still think we're in the dominant position in our culture, we make a mistake and then we become surprised. At least now we're not surprised. At least now we are ready to take the truth to the streets, to those who are open, who the Spirit is working in, to accept that Christianity might have something of value that they don't have. We don't become defensive, but we are truthing in love. At the drop of a hat, at the earliest sign of an open heart to receive the message of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful that we live in a country where we can still speak these truths with clarity and without fear of reprisal. I don't know, Lord, that that will always be the case. The day may come, Lord, when we are restricted because what we teach about Jesus will be considered too exclusionary and intolerant. But Father, help us to stand strong, not tossed about, and neither defensive. God, help us never to become a church that is content to just be a fortress of the truth. Father, help us to be ranchers out on the open prairies, out in the community, looking for opportunities to share the joy of what we received, to just do what Jesus did, but to do it with those convictions set firmly in place. Father, help us to unite around them. Help us to grow in maturity in them. Help us, Father, to be the kind of people you call us to be in the world around us today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, the solid rock on which we stand. And all God's people who agreed said,
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we